Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Next guest used to chair Grant Thornton, where the number of consultants went from 90 to 3,000 in two decades. Sinead Donovan was also the president of Chartered Accountants Ireland as it merged with CPA Ireland. And now she's with the recruiting company Barden as a non-exec director. I've asked Sinead to join us to talk about what boardrooms in Ireland should be thinking about amid some of the most uncertain economic environments since the COVID shutdown locked us all out 5 years ago. Good morning, Sinead.
Morning, Joe. How are you?
Not too bad, Sinead. Crazy times, turbulent times. You worked for quite a few boards and handled quite a few crises. How does the current global trade war, how does that fare among those crises?
Oh, look, it's right up there in the uncertain times. I mean, I think the only thing that's certain at the moment is the uncertainty. And that's crossing every sector. I mean, I'm involved in, obviously, you've mentioned Barden there. I'm involved in them. I'm involved in a retail company on the board. And I'm involved in a global NGO as a trustee. And the uncertainty is hitting all sectors. And I think what's important now is for boards to absolutely double down on the simple things of business. To kind of arm themselves against the uncertainty, because there's no way any of us can predict what's going to happen.
Okay, so what do the C-suites and the boards need to know and need to do to deal with this uncertainty?
So, look, I don't have all the answers, but I have three simple rules, I think in threes. The first thing is let's double down on our relationships with our key stakeholders, so be that clients, customers, suppliers. That's going to be critical to get us through the next uncertain times. Second thing is double down on your talent. Make sure you've got your key talent with you and locked in.
And then maybe provide a gym in the office.
Right, we were talking about that outside. Yeah. Provide a gym in the office. That seems to be what they want. And then the third thing is, look, I think this is the times where the risk committees and the audit and risk committees are really going to earn their money. I've seen it around the board tables in the last few months. The absolutely analysing the risk registers, the sense checking them, they're looking at the likelihood of those risks, but not just looking at the theoretical risks, but looking at the actions you need to take, the mitigation factors, and ensuring that you're ready to go with those mitigants to minimise the risk.
So the risk officer used to sit in the corner and kind of was ignored by most people, but they are now front and centre. By the way, what is the difference between compliance and risk?
It's a good question. I mean, the risk officer is very definitely part of the C-suite. It's generally a CRO now. The risk to me is about the kind of the preempting as best as possible to get through turbulent times. Compliance is more about the tick the box, the look at the legislative, the regulatory, the internal policies, and to check that things are on course at this moment in time. The risk is all about the look forward and to ensure that you've got the resilience to get through any of the risks coming your way.
So the risk officer you're saying is now alongside the CFO in terms of importance. Or does the risk officer or the senior risk executive need to at least have the ear of an executive officer?
Absolutely. I mean, as I said, I think the risk officer is quite often at the C-suite now, rightly so. Mm. And I think the risk officer sitting side by side with the CEO and or the COO or the CFO brings the theory of the risk with the actions that are required to combat those risks. And that's where the real beauty happens is it's not just theoretical. It's about making sure that you've got the actions to address those risks.
Aren't they going to be harping in the corner and saying, you need to watch out for this, you need to watch out for that? And that's not going to make them very popular.
They're certainly not in the corner. And if they're in the corner, they need to get out of the corner because they're probably one of the most important members around the table at the moment. And I think that's where I'm saying it's incumbent on boards to really, really listen to the CRO now and listen in conjunction with all of the rest of the C-suite to ensure they're armed for the go forward.
Do you think companies are aware of their nationality, i.e. do companies keep their nationality even when they become giants, global footprints, employing tens of thousands of people? Are they cognizant of where they came from?
It's an interesting one because we work in such a global environment now. I think personally, I think we are losing that. I do think the companies that are able to hang on to that and keep it important, it becomes one of their key values and one of the key kind of centric fulcrum. But my view is we are losing that. But I think it's an advantage if a company can harness their culture and link it to the country that they come from.
The reason I ask is because I think Irish people are famed for their relaxed nature and that they don't tolerate people getting above their station or people getting, quote, notions, whereas other nations don't have that. They have very strict rules. And once you reach a certain level, you become godlike within the organisation. And that culture that we have, I just wonder whether that will survive the money-making goal that's prevalent in the States and the status, which is so important in the UK and Germany, perhaps.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I wouldn't have put that down to maybe a nationality thing. I put that down to a value of a company. And the values of a company are led by traditionally the C-suite. So, I mean, to me, it's about a company identifying if that's a core value. And to me, it is. Transparency, authenticity, all the rest is a key value. But is it an Irish thing? Oh, I don't know, Joe. You've lobbed in a grenade there.
I have, I like doing. Is Ireland producing the right people? Are the universities producing the right graduates? And are we getting people into this country that are right for the current world that we live in or the perma crisis that you're talking about?
I think we are. I mean, look, I think A, our education system is fantastic. B, if you look, I mean, obviously I'm an accountant. I was past president of the Institute of Chartered Accountants. We are producing phenomenal professions that have a very wide remit and a wide berth. But the third thing is because we have had years and years of high profile and high quality companies here in Ireland, we have got the pedigree of people who have learnt on the ground in the multinationals, in the Irish indigenous companies, in the large privates, and we have the stickiness there. So I think we are producing really, really, really savvy business people, and we have that footprint still there. So we're going to keep that apprenticeship model, for want of a better word.
The Irish economy is very dependent on US multinationals. Should we be more worried or less worried than we already are?
I think we've got it. I think we've got it right. It's high on the agenda. The government, the IDA, all of that, they're doing all they can and need to do. It's about relationship build. It's about education. It's about awareness of where we are in the marketplace. And personally, I think we've got the balance right. We need them, but you know, we need to keep attracting them. But at the moment, it's just uncertain. So let's double down.
Okay. Sinead, thank you very much for joining us. That is Sinead Donovan there from Bardens Recruitment and former president of the Chartered Accountants Ireland and former chair of Grant Thornton Ireland as well. Bye.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.